Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Good morning. Christians are sometimes questioned about their faith. It happened in the first century as well as in our day, which is why the Apostle Peter encouraged believers to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But what if you are not sure? What if you do not know an answer to a question? You will never go wrong by simply saying what the Word says, the living and written Word of God. Jesus called himself the truth in John 14:6, and he who is true in Revelation 3:7. Therefore, saying what Jesus said is to say what is true. A Christian will never go wrong by agreeing with Jesus. But Jesus also called God's word the truth. He knew that the psalmist had written, "The entirety of your word is truth." And he borrowed those words in his prayer to the Father. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus called himself the truth, and he called the word of God the truth. Jesus was the human embodiment of the eternal truth of God. So if you want to speak the truth, quoting Jesus and the Bible is the best place to begin. If what we say departs from those two sources, we have departed from the truth. So may we never forget that the truth of Scripture demolishes speculation. We can know some things. We can be sure of some things, and we can express ourselves to others in a way that brings glory and honor to God and supports what is the way, the truth, and the life. So I want to talk to us in this broadcast about what Jesus taught about salvation, the truth about salvation from John's Gospel chapter 8. So stay tuned as we enjoy these moments together on Missionary Echoes this Sunday morning.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever
be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face at last I'll see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Is my Savior's love for me, for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh how marvelous, how wonderful, oh how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Lord, I thank you for those times that we just absolutely stand in awe. We wait reverently before you in your almighty presence, so overwhelmed with how awesome you are, how good you are, and how much we appreciate being able to rest in you and have confidence in the God that we serve, that you are able to keep us, you're able to enable us, you're able to strengthen us, you're able to heal us. And Lord, today, no doubt, there are those listening to the broadcast who are in special need of something in their life. And oh, if they could but wait before you and be amazed in your presence today, their faith could rise to a new level, perhaps to the point where God is free to be able to do the miracle in their life, to work out the circumstance that they are facing, to give them wisdom and direction for the decision that they're facing. Whatever it might be, Lord, I'm thankful that we can trust you, we can believe you, and we can be absolutely amazed in your presence at how wonderful a Savior you are. We pray that this broadcast will be an uplift, an inspiration to somebody's heart today, and we'll give you praise and glory for all that you do. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Don't you just appreciate those opportunities to just magnify the name of Jesus? We can do it when we're by ourselves, but it's also pretty special when we can do it as a body of believers, such as the church family. The opportunities that are given on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, other special moments of worship opportunities. We invite you to come and be a part of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. We're located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We will begin our Sunday school hour in just a few moments at 9:30. There are Sunday school classes for all ages. You'll surely be able to connect somewhere and appreciate and value the opportunity to study God's Word and spend time with God's people. And then at 10:30 will be our morning worship service today, and it is a special day. It's Harvest Home Sunday, Pastor Appreciation Day. There's lots of special things planned, in particular of honoring the pastors of the church. We'll be blessed to have our conference president and his wife, Reverend Jacob Martin and Rhoda, to be with us for the day today, and you don't want to miss it. So come along and enjoy the atmosphere and the opportunity to worship the Lord and share with others. There'll be a special lunchtime in the Family Life Center, and then the evening service at 6 o'clock tonight. Wednesday night is our midweek prayer meeting service night. Also opportunity for Proclaim class for children and young people to connect with each other. And we're adding an additional class, especially for the age category of college and career age level of people, RCG, a relaxed atmosphere, connective conversations, growing in God's Word. That class will be in the chapel, presented by Pastor Scott Loper. And so, again, more opportunities for you to connect and value the blessing of worshiping the Lord and getting to know others of like faith. So we invite you again to our church. Do stay tuned as we enjoy another song and a message from God's Word just now. It is important that our eyes and our ears are open so that we can see and hear Jesus and experience Him in a real and meaningful way. Jesus spoke strong words in John's Gospel chapter 8, beginning at verse 24, when He said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Then said they unto Him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." In the scripture before us today, Christ presents one of the clearest and most complete sermons on salvation to be found in the Bible. His heart was always burdened for the lost, and their salvation was the chief matter of his concern. So let's look closely at this portion of God's Word and discover what Christ taught about salvation. First of all, Christ taught about the need of salvation. Christ started where we all must begin when we talk about salvation. Until a person acknowledges his need, that there is a sense of conviction that is being brought on by the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. There's a sense of guilt. Until we acknowledge that, we will never be moved to accept the gift of salvation. Christ says much here in just a few words. In this one brief verse, he teaches three vital truths about the need of salvation. That first vital truth is that this need is universal. The fact that you need to be saved does not mean that you are worse than I am. It simply means that you are not better than I am, no different than I am. We're all in the same boat. Salvation is a universal need since every person is lost until he or she does something, senses conviction for their sins, and believes that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can forgive those sins. Jesus says, "You will die in your sins if ye believe not that I am He." What must you do to be lost? Well, I'm glad you ask. It really is nothing. You are, as you are already lost. In that present state, as you are already lost. You've already sinned. Just remain as you are, and you will continue to be lost. A man falls overboard in the Atlantic Ocean. A life raft is thrown out to him. What must he do to drown? Absolutely nothing. If he stays as he is in time, he will drown. But to be saved, we must do something. We must reach over, take hold of the raft, and trust it. The need of salvation is universal because everyone is lost until he or she reaches out to Christ, God's raft of salvation, and places their trust in Him. The need of salvation is rooted in the sin of unbelief. This is the second truth taught by Christ's statement, "For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Why is unbelief so serious a sin? Well, because unbelief rejects God's only plan for salvation. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. When a person rejects Christ, he or she rejects God's only means of salvation. The virus from which they all spring is the sin of unbelief, the rejection of Christ as one's personal Savior. Peter was guilty of cursing. The dying thief was guilty of stealing. The Samaritan woman was guilty of adultery. And Zacchaeus was guilty of dishonesty. They were all facing the reality of sin. The good news is that all of these sins can be forgiven by Jesus Christ. But in John chapter 3, verse 18, Christ reminds us how serious unbelief is. "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The need of salvation is emphasized by the penalty of sin. Twice in verse 24, Jesus says, "Ye shall die in your sins." Actually, he was saying, "You will die under the curse of your sin." How badly a patient needs surgery is emphasized by what will happen if he does not receive surgery. How badly a diabetic needs insulin is emphasized by what will happen if he does not get insulin. And how badly a person needs salvation is emphasized by what will happen if he does not receive salvation. The penalty is death in sin, not simply physical death, but also spiritual death. That is eternal separation from the saving presence of God, forever lost in hell. Christ taught about the need for salvation. Secondly, I notice that Christ taught about the object of salvation, and the object is the whole world. Christ says in verse 26, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He is saying, what I have to say, I say to the entire world, since the whole world is the object of salvation. But why? Because God loves the whole world, as we know from John 3:16, and it is the object of salvation. And this especially includes you, because God is no respecter of persons, as we read in Acts 10:34. All the world is included. The entire world needs salvation, and therefore, a just God provides for it all. We have all sinned and thus share a common need. Suppose a statewide epidemic breaks out and scores of people die. The governor calls for a press conference and says, the good news is we've developed a vaccine that will cure this disease and save lives. We will provide it free for 3 counties. You would say, well, that's not fair. Since all need it, it should be provided for all. And you would be right. The whole state deserves to have the same provision. But God is more just than any good governor. He looked upon this earth and saw all people infected by the virus of sin and said, since all need it, salvation will be provided for all, for whosoever. And so Christ speaks to the world the things he heard of the Father. So we have seen the need of salvation that Jesus taught. We've seen the object of salvation that Jesus taught. Thirdly, we notice that Christ taught about the provision of salvation. You say, preacher, I know I need to be saved. I would never lie about that. And I'm thankful that I am included in God's object for salvation. But tell me, how does God go about providing this salvation? Well, that's an excellent question. God's provision is the death of Christ on the cross as your substitute. Earlier, Jesus explained God's provision for salvation to Nicodemus this way. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Just as the brass serpent raised high on a pole in the middle of the camp of Israel was God's provision for healing and for salvation of all who were snake bitten, so Christ's death on the cross is God's provision for your salvation. All who will look to the cross and believe that God through Christ can save them will be saved. That God's provision for salvation is the death of Christ on the cross is a certainty. Christ says that when he has died on the cross, then shall ye know that I am he. You can know this because the Bible teaches it and because you experience it for yourself. Number 4, Christ taught about the means of receiving salvation. It comes through belief. It says there in verse 30, as he spoke, many believed. Belief that receives salvation through Christ involves a realization of being lost. The root cause is unbelief in Jesus Christ. Saving faith or belief involves repentance, acknowledgement of sin, sorrow for it, and an honest desire to be done with it. The object of belief is that Christ has the power to save. Praise his name. Yet belief as a means of receiving salvation is more than this. It goes far beyond the rationale. It is an experiential belief. Through such belief, one comes to the moment when he or she takes the leap of faith, just as a child standing on a burning porch leaps into the arms of his father who is standing on the ground below. So saving belief is leaping into the saving arms of our loving Heavenly Father. It is not enough to assert your belief that God can save, to have a head knowledge that he can save. You must come to that moment when you say, because I do believe that I am lost, and because I do believe that Christ can save, I, here and now, take the leap of faith and trust Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus teaches us the means of receiving salvation. We believe. Fifthly, Christ taught about the evidence of salvation from verse 31. Profession of faith as such is not the evidence of salvation. Anybody can say they believe in God, but you have to be able to experience redemption, forgiveness. Some of the Jews mentioned in verse 31 had made their belief known through some kind of profession, but it was not genuine belief, for they became very angry when Christ spoke of the freedom that could be theirs through him. On down in verse 33. So a mere profession of faith is simply a preliminary outward announcement of your intent. and it can be false, or it can be such that we never follow through with it. It's only a head knowledge. Persistence in Christian living is the evidence of salvation that Christ mentions when he says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed," there in verse 31. There becomes an evidence, "By their fruits ye shall know them." There's action that follows our faith. Yours is not to worry about the evidence. You are to take the leap of faith, and Christ will see that as you grow as a Christian, more and more evidence will be yours. Thank God for the evidence of the witness of the Spirit. I am His and He is mine. He gives that assurance, and nobody can talk you out of it. The life-transforming experience of God's grace and His forgiveness has come into your own heart and life, and it's unmistakable that I have turned from darkness to light. I now am a child of God. I once was a child of the devil. Finally, item number 6 is that Christ taught about the blessing of salvation. It is freedom. If you were asked to take all the blessings of salvation and compress them into one word, what word would you use? Christ expressed this perfectly in the word freedom. We can be free from slavery to sin. He says, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin," verse 34. But Christ frees from such bondage. The sin that has made you its slave will have its grip broken when you trust Christ. We can be free from the guilt of sin. We can be free from the past. We can be free from the fear of death. And we can be free from the fear of hell. The unrighteous, Jesus said, will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous will go away into everlasting life, unto life eternal, Matthew 25:46. So Christ taught all you will ever need to know about salvation. It is made clear to you today that you need salvation, that you are included as a part of God's object of salvation, and that His own death on the cross is God's provision for your salvation, and that belief is the means of receiving this salvation. So right now, as you take the leap of faith, evidence will be forthcoming, and all the blessings of salvation will be yours. I hope you will do it. I hope you will do it today. I hope you will do it now. Thanks for joining us for Missionary Echoes. We hope to see you in Sunday school and church today.
By failure, I was paralyzed by choices I had made. In the night before my eyes, the haunting ghosts would arise. The memories of the things I could not change.
Could be forgiven. Chains and shackles could all be torn away. To the chains that held me tight, God's power would be a light, and I would know.